The scripture for this morning's message comes to us from the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, starting at verse 30 and going to verse 35. I invite you to have your pew Bibles open to Luke 7, 30 to 35, and read along as I read aloud. And may you hear the word that God has for you this day. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Luke tells us that the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they'd not been baptized by John. So it is possible to reject God's purpose. But we already knew that. God has such wonderful plans. So many want nothing to do with it. If they did, wouldn't they be here with us or in any church? Consistent statistics tell us that of all those who profess faith in Jesus Christ in this country, still a majority by most measures, only 20% of those are in church any given Sunday. 20%? 60% say they're Christian? By some reports, a majority of Americans do not believe in God, which sounds odd since we're also told that a majority of Americans are Christian. So I'm afraid the suspicion is sadly true that not everyone who claims to be Christian is in fact claimed by God in Christ Jesus. People can claim this or that, yet not be claimed by it. I'm a great golfer. Oh, I'm afraid not. I'm fantastic at tennis. Well, I mean, I like it, and I'm okay, but no, I wouldn't say so. When I go fishing, well, somewhere in between here, every single time, no, I don't. Some people can claim things but not be claimed by them. I'm a Christian. I go to church a few times. Well, that's a start. Luke says the evidence of rejection was not receiving baptism from John. Now, I have to suppose there was one Pharisee and another, or one expert in the law or another, who was baptized by John, but as a whole, neither group received that baptism. Neither group wanted it. Neither group saw the need of it. They didn't believe they needed that baptism. They knew about sin, as they supposed, and they knew they weren't sinners. The idea of receiving baptism was offensive to them, to their sense of themselves and their relation to God. What was John's baptism? A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John himself wasn't forgiving anybody's sins as though he had that power. John was a facilitator. John was saying, "There is a door that is open. Let me guide you to it." If you want God's forgiveness, if you want conviction that God is pleased after all to restore you, repent. John called people into the water, poured the water over them, or plunged them down if you have to be so Baptist about it. He asked them to confess their sins to God to begin taking those necessary saving steps in the direction of repentance. We all got to start somewhere. Why not now? Why not here? Relationship requires honesty. Self-deception won't do. I'm not a sinner. Each step in the direction of repentance was a step closer to God, who is ready to forgive. John was telling them, reminding them all, that God is there and ready to forgive, a God of salvation, compassion. All it takes is repentance, the confession of sin, our disordered lives, our foolish living for ourselves, leaving such a mess as we go. We've all seen this, maybe even in our own lives. Oh, the mess that gets left behind us as we live for ourselves rather than for God. John's baptism was like an enacted prayer for forgiveness for those who confessed their sin, their absolute and entire lack of righteousness, that is, their absolute and entire ongoing need for God. People who don't sin don't need God. Nobody talks that way, but that's the underlying logic. The Pharisees, remember, were those who had committed themselves to the most rigorous keeping of the law. They're going to do this absolutely as perfectly as they can every day, no matter what. The experts in the law, other accounts call them scribes or lawyers, the experts in the law immersed themselves in the study of God's written word. They were the biblical scholars. And they spend their time debating about interpretation. Well, yeah, it says this, but what does it mean? How are we going to understand it, and how are we going to apply it? Those were the questions the law experts explored. The law experts filled out how the law was to be carried out, and then the Pharisees devoted themselves to carrying out the law so interpreted. Beloved, we see what happens when God's Spirit is nowhere to be found as people interpret the Bible. People, for whatever reason, seem to have an inbuilt tendency to interpret Scripture towards their own wishes. And what can check that? Well, there's a term for this, too, stubborn pride. And I know something about it, just as you know something about it. The shorthand for this is sin. Interpretation is the source of so many heated arguments in the church right now, and Jesus came as light. A lot of heat and not much light. Well, we got a lot of heat. What we need is light. The Pharisees and law experts would not be baptized by John because they could not see, would not see, that they were in need of any repentance, that there was anything of which they needed to repent. That was the logjam, the obstacle, the stumbling block. Until we know we need God's forgiveness, until you and I know why we need God's forgiveness, know what we have done, said, desired, contemplated that requires God's forgiveness, that can be washed away only by God's forgiveness, until we arrive at that point, God can't do much for us, despite all God is always doing for us, giving us light and life, for example, food and work and income, health. All God's goodness towards us and towards everyone is always for a reminder of God's nature, a reminder of God's goodness. Let us not neglect our good God, ready to forgive. The time to turn to Him is now. It's not just the Pharisees and the law experts who were left cold by John's call to the water, indignant, insulted, as if, how dare he talk that way to us? Jesus lays a broad charge, beloved. How can we hear it? Jesus went on to say, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? Have you tried talking with people about Jesus? Yes, some will enter into the conversation. It can be a rich and rewarding conversation. You and I, however, we know that such willingness to talk is the exception. The majority would rather talk about something else, anything else. Raise Jesus and they get evasive, prickly, uncomfortable. They don't feel safe, as the current jargon says. So don't even try, then, to bring in words like sin and salvation. Even if the majority of Christians do, even if the majority of Americans do consider themselves Christians, that doesn't mean they want to talk about it, think about it, or explore it. Hey, I'm a Christian, okay, so let's talk about something else. Well, who wants to talk about sin? Yet as Jesus was reminding everyone, no one could talk about Jesus without also talking about sin. Jesus came because of sin. Around the start of this century, Methodist Bishop Will Willimon wrote that sin is the problem we have between us and God. Well, Jesus is the answer to our sin problem. Amen? So why do you and I just let the conversation stop and drop right there? Jesus searches for an image that people around him at the time would recognize, be familiar to them. He tells them they're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, "We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry. Can't sing anything to make them rejoice. Can't sing anything to touch their heart, as if nothing they're told makes any difference to them, as if they won't listen or forgotten how. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, perhaps like an empty tombstone being rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day." Yeah, forget that. Not many will confess their blindness, their spiritual blindness. I mean, how does that make them look? Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." The Pharisees aren't the only ones. Not rejoicing, certainly not repenting. I mean, why would they? What would draw out one or the other, rejoicing or repenting? Relationship, beloved. A valued, treasured relationship with one whose word we want to hear, wait to hear, love to hear. One unto whom we can unburden our hearts. Jesus came, the Word of God, the Word incarnate, proclaiming God's Word, the message, the truth of the matter. What's wrong with this life? What's God want us to do? What's the way forward? Jesus tells us it's all right in here. It's not really a mystery. Yes, there were those who responded positively. We know, here we are. Praise be to God. And there were many, and still are, who didn't much care. What Jesus said neither encouraged nor drove them to seek the Lord in penitence and prayer. They felt no need for what Jesus was offering and did not value what he was telling them. But they were keen to discredit the message and the messenger. John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. John, bah, way too religious, denying himself all the good things that we can have here. He was no fun at parties, not that he was ever invited. He dressed weird, smelled funky. I mean, couldn't he at least run a comb through his hair? Always hoarse with trying to get people's attention. Out of his mind, possessed. Crazy. The lesson here? Hey, don't take this religion thing too seriously. Don't take it too far. Keep it private. Keep it to yourself. Keep out of my way. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. The ascetic monk in the wilderness left a bad taste in the mouth of many, thought he was so much holier than everyone. And as for gregarious Jesus, who loved to party, who enjoyed people, who liked to laugh and tell stories, he told great stories. As for Jesus, who displayed no reluctance or revulsion in the company of those whom all truly decent people avoided like the plague, what kind of religion is that? A fraud, a hustler who was just looking to play people for a drink and a meal. No one who really loved God would associate with anyone like that. In each case, the critics are saying, that's not the way. Because the critics, if they want any way at all, want their way. As they see it, they hold the truth, know the truth, they make the truth. No matter your political or theological allegiances, you can't say you haven't noticed that, especially over these most recent years, increasingly, power, as applied by our fellow human beings of whatever loyalty, power wants to dictate truth and then compel everyone to comply with it. God's word is not man's truths, but God's truth. Yet this can be accepted only by faith, and many do not. What is the truth of the power of this age? In whatever manifestation, the core is this. Orthodox, historic, Christian teaching is not true because it cannot be true. Why not? Because if Orthodox, historic, Christian teaching were true, contemporary values would therefore necessarily be a lie, a demonic lie, leading only to sorrow and destruction. Not that we see a lot of sorrow and destruction out there, of course. Nothing to see here, move along. Beloved, it's those who are truly hungry and thirsty who value food and drink. In our times, people take food and drink for granted. We have all we need, more than enough, too much. We throw good food into the trash, and then we pour good drink down the drain as if, so what? If this is what we do with what God gives to sustain our bodies, it's also what we do with what God gives to sustain our souls. Americans, don't go to the church. I'm sorry, 20% is not a rather high statistic. 20% Americans don't go to the church. We know some of them. Some claim to be members of a church, yet seem to have found more interesting, rewarding things to do 52 Sundays out of the year. The habit of Bible reading is not so common. People don't pray much and don't find much personal satisfaction in prayer. And when pastors start to talk like this, well, no wonder those who wandered off have no reason to wander back in. Just tell warm, funny stories, Pastor. Jesus was a storyteller. What does Jesus say? Surveying the situation he found around him, how does he respond? Wisdom is proved right by all her children. The children of wisdom, the sons of wisdom. That's a Hebrew way of referring to those who are wise, who not only know what wisdom is, but also have some. Wisdom, that's applied knowledge, applying what we know to the task of daily living. The beginning of wisdom, the ground for successfully applying what we know to the task of daily living, the beginning of wisdom, Scripture tells us, is the fear of the Lord. Awe, reverence, listening, and obedience. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his brief book about being a vital, worshiping Christian community, writes that worldly wisdom knows what distress and weakness and failure are, but it does not know the godlessness of men. And so worldly wisdom also does not know that man is destroyed only by his sin and can be healed only by forgiveness. Only the Christian knows this. Who knows the godlessness of men? We remember that Jesus spoke much of forgiveness, offered it to anyone who wanted it. Let us also remember that it was this same Jesus who spoke also about the destructiveness of sin. The sin that destroys is the sin that says there is no sin, or nothing to be forgiven, or nothing for which I need forgiveness, or no one there to forgive.